Welcome to Community Forum, a weekly call-in program produced at the studios of KSKA. Opinions expressed are those of the guest, host, and callers, and do not represent the views of KSKA, the licensee, or the underwriters. And now, the host of Community Forum, Nellie Moore.
Good afternoon. Welcome, listeners. It's a kind of a chilly day here in Anchorage. However, we're going to warm up your afternoon, hopefully just in my attempting to introduce the people in this room. However, before that, I'll say the people here are involved with the Anchorage Cultural Council, and I've been told to inform you that it is a nonprofit client of KSKA and is a financial contributor to KSKA programming. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to start at one side of the room. Tori is general manager of the Anchorage Opera. Welcome to the show.
Hello there. Thank you kindly.
Whoops. And Mao Tozzi is executive founder of the Pride program here in Anchorage. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
This is actually the first time you've been here, and I've been thinking about trying to figure out how to invite all these like former NFL players and everything. And
emails get usually work well.
All in the same room and yeah. Just talk sports one of these days. Okay, Bruce Farnsworth is a writer and board member of the Anchorage Cultural Council. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Sonia Tower, who is going to be the featured person at the rally, which we'll talk about shortly, is a classically trained mezzo-soprano. Did I say that correctly?
You sure did.
And right now, she is an arts management consultant and is working with the Ovation Channel on
community development.
Yeah. So we're here today to talk about art and public financing of art and why it's important, and we're interested in your input and what you think about it. We know it's been a topic that's been bounced around a lot throughout not only its birth here in Alaska, but of course there are two sides to many stories, and there are some people who don't necessarily agree with the program as it's set up in the state of Alaska, and we'll talk about that a little bit too. First of all, Tori, tell us a little bit about your involvement and what kind of a grade does Anchorage get when it comes to the arts?
Well, you know, I moved from New York City about a year and almost 2 years ago now. And I was a victim of, I think, what Anchorage was projecting to the rest of the country. And that was, I didn't think there was much arts here, much arts and culture. What a shock. I now believe, I firmly believe, that Anchorage is one of the most underestimated creative communities in this country. And I think it's a little criminal, actually. We have incredible talent here. You know, I constantly find myself, we don't need to go to New York. We don't need to go to Chicago. We've got it here. We're doing fabulous stuff here. Every day, it seems like from September to May, you can find four or five different things happening. Very, very diverse things happening. There's a lot happening in Anchorage. So I would say, in terms of creativity, A+. In terms of support and understanding of the value of the arts and how important it is, D.
Yeah, and I think we'll get to that. And it's interesting because it's always nice to hear what people feel who have just moved here recently and you know, have a kind of a fresh opinion from somewhere else. Tori Allen, thank you. Mal, what are you up to nowadays? You've been doing a lot.
I'm really been trying to build our AK Pride program and trying to get into the communities to provide art opportunities for our students. You know, working with the high-risk, at-risk youth has been a struggle because of the lack of opportunities for our youth. But art, music, dance, poetry, all these things are just opportunities that our kids appeal to. And that's what we're trying to figure out and how we can support them in this area.
And do you have a personal interest in the arts? Are you...
You know, I sing, I dance, I do a lot of those things because a lot of the kids I work with do it. And with them, it's if I do it, they'll do it as well. And that just makes it easier for us to work together and build our relationship. So it's for me to have to sing, have to dance, but I enjoy it all together and stuff. You know, I'm 6'6", 300 pounds, so I really don't care what people think about me.
Okay. Bruce, how did you get involved? Of course, you're the person that approached me. We talked about doing this show, and you have a big interest in the arts and tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I don't represent any
particular specific arts organization. I occupy one of the seats on the Anchorage Cultural Board that's set aside for individual artists, and I was asked to come onto the board about 3 years ago. And I'm really interested just in the phase of this this project, because we've gotten pretty specific about our goals and intentions. We can't do everything. We can't change the world in a single stroke. So we just picked something very specific and quantifiable and we think achievable, and that is make more funds available to get more opportunities for young people in Anchorage to get involved directly in the arts, either as audience members or as direct participants. And we want to reach out to programs especially like MOWS and Covenant House and other programs around the city that are working with underserved kids, because mm-hmm. those are the kids whose, you know, opportunities seem to be the most limited. But in a lot of cases, they're also the kids that are just the most reachable through the arts, mm-hmm. just because it's a natural kind of, thing for people to gravitate towards it, that idea of self-expression and so on. So that's our goal. We want to increase the local arts budget by $100,000 and be able to target it to increasing youth participation. That's the goal in a nutshell, and I just think it's a worthy thing for a community to come together and try and get done.
Mm-hmm. Tori just gave us a D just a few minutes ago as a community on investment in the arts. Is $100,000 a doable goal, do you think? Or
yeah, I think so. I think it's not a huge, I mean, it's a big, it'll represent a pretty significant increase to the amount of money that we spend as mm-hmm. a city on funding arts organizations and arts activities. But it isn't really a whole lot of money in an economy like ours in a mm-hmm. city this size. It's very doable. We didn't shoot for something that we thought would make us look crazy.
Well, more than we usually do.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. We didn't want to enhance our reputation as lunatics.
Okay. Sonia Tower, you're the keynote speaker for tonight's rally. Let's talk about the rally a little bit. And is this something you do routinely throughout the country in your role as an arts management consultant?
I have a background in the arts and performing, and specifically in managing organizations and local arts agencies. So it's all about managing programs at the community level, cultural programs and cultural development programs. So I've done that at the local level, and I've worked for a national organization, Americans for the Arts, which is the national agency for advancing the arts in America. And so I've done my share of some lecturing. I don't usually go around the country doing these things, but I have particular expertise in this area of arts and economic revitalization. Mm-hmm. So that's something I'm very familiar with, and is sort of an area of expertise and a love of mine. I'm very passionate about it because of the transformative effects that it can have on a community when there's an investment made in the arts. It's stunning, really, what can happen and mm-hmm. how a community can transform. And it's incredible, the impact on the local community in terms of, the economic impact. It's real. Mm-hmm. And so it's very exciting that Anchorage is going in this direction, and the Cultural Council is moving this forward.
Wow, that was quite a lot of information. Have you had a chance to look at our Performing Arts Center?
I have. It's beautiful.
And you would rate it as beautiful?
Absolutely. I'm with Tori on this. It's always humbling when, if you've lived in New York and lived in different parts of the country. And, it really is amazing when you come to a place that is known for this just sheer natural beauty. But then learning about what is going on in the arts community, it's impressive. It really is impressive. And the cultural center is gorgeous. But more than that, it the cultural community itself, there are a lot of different aspects to it that I think maybe people in Anchorage might or might not be aware of. Mm-hmm. So it's really a fantastic community.
I know periodically the Performing Arts Center in different venues opens its doors. I know recently they had the Aga Boom performance, quite a colorful, exciting performance by clowns, and kids from all the elementary schools in the
Fantastic.
Area came, which I think was, it brings in the young people to go, hey, look, this is in our community.
Yeah.
Where, maybe they wouldn't routinely go with their family or say, you know, maybe mom and dad go to, you know, see the opera and stuff. Maybe the kids never get a chance to go in there. So there was a lot of fascination just for the facility itself, I think, in the children. So that was great to see. Let's talk about the rally a little bit, Bruce Farnsworth, and how can people get to it and be involved in it?
I'm going to let Tori talk about this a little bit because he's going to be emceeing the rally tonight. But one thing that I would say is that it's at the Wildberry Theater, which is a pretty fairly new venue in the community. If you haven't been there, this is a good time to come out and check it out, just as one of the kind of operating theater spaces in the community. This event's free, so it's not going to cost you a lot to come check it out and see what's going to be on the program. Mao is going to be speaking and bringing some of the young people from his program with him tonight, and hopefully they're going to put on a little performance, and the audience, I think, is going to be really well compensated for taking just an hour or two to come out to this. Plus, it'll show support for the idea that we need to do more to increase opportunities for young people and in the community. And the time is now to do it. And what's great about the timing is that we've got all of these different kind of organizations and people coming together who see that there's something, you know, that we all need to kind of unite around, because we get too compartmentalized. You know, we get really sort of out there doing our own things, and we forget often that we just overlap so much, and not just our interests, but even in, you know, because it's in everybody's interest to make more opportunities for young people. I mean, the mayor's commission on youth and gang violence created a prevention committee, and I know that the people on that committee are really, really heads up about the role that the arts and making more arts opportunities for kids plays in a prevention strategy in a community. We just haven't figured out a way for all of us to get on the same kind of, you know, stage and talk about it.
I sit on that board also, the anti-gang policy team, and it's really, art is one of the main focal points, because its appeal to our youth and our community is so strong, and it's trying to figure out how to collaborate to maximize resources out there so that we can all provide quality services to not only youth, but all the folks involved in any community programs we've got going on. But really, it all begins with this art piece and trying to figure out how successful this can be and how we can all collaborate to make sure that it reaches whatever goal we're trying to set for this.
Okay, Tori Ellen, have the stage.
Just to piggyback on what they were saying, I would say that for me, this is about understanding the value of the arts. I think if you think about maybe Joe the plumber out there, or the average person who doesn't understand what we're talking about, well, why should we encourage more public support of the arts? Well, let me tell you why. Because to piggyback on what you folks were saying, it's not about art. It's about an investment in the community. You can spend $100,000 now for this youth education program, or $500,000 4 years from now, and more police, more social service, and possibly more bigger adding additions to the prison. It's that simple, and it's that hard and fast. It's much bigger than the arts organizations. It's about the community, and arts and creativity is one of the most important things to develop if you wish to prevent those kind of social ills.
It's something we hear a lot, and I know I may have heard it, you know, in other instances, but how is it that by getting young people more involved in the arts that we're not going to need a bigger prison?
I guess that's my area. The way I see it, the work out there in the community with our youth is, if the incentive is great enough for our youth, then there must be requirements in place for our youth. To give a kid an opportunity to sing at the Performing Arts Center is great, and they would love that. That's a great motivation for that student. But for us to just give it to these students, it's not something we're trying to do. We're trying to figure out what requirements can we put in place so that these kids reach the goals that we want them to academically, community outreach. We're really trying to figure out every way possible. But this is through the collaborations, because there are very limited funds to the arts. So it is for us to say, how can we maximize this $100,000 to reach more youth to provide for the city of Anchorage?
Okay, Tori, just quickly getting back to the rally. Where is it? When is it?
It's at the Wildberry Theater tonight, the Alaska Wildberry Theater. Beautiful little place at 5225 Juno Street, near the Peanut.
Right across from the Sourdough Mining
Center. Sourdough, yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I'm sure that a lot of people will be excited to see that facility when they get there, because we have a few of them tucked, or not that many, but a few tucked around in the community. That I know sometimes the library has a little theater in there, which I could be like making a fool of myself right now over that theater. Anyway. No.
The Wilda Marsden Theater you're talking
about? Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, this is a live call-in program if you're listening in the afternoon. If you're listening in the evening, you cannot call in because the program has been pre-recorded. Today we're talking about investment in arts in public places, and our local phone number is 550-8433. That's 550-8433. Outside Anchorage, our toll-free is 1-888-353-5752. You can also reach me by email this afternoon at communityforum@kska.org. The Anchorage Cultural Council is involved with this as well, and they are a nonprofit client of KSKA and a financial contributor. However, I didn't know that until BD told me, so they didn't have anything to do with paying anything to do the show. So we're talking about arts and trying to increase spending in public arts by $100,000. And I wanted to ask you, Bruce Farnsworth, as a community member, and it seems like right now our whole country is wrapped up, of course, in the election. Our people have pretty intimate knowledge of the fact that our country is deep in debt. We've got a war going on. Why should we, you know, this is like one more thing to ask people to give to. And why the arts?
When things are going really well, it seems like there's probably less necessity to really focus in on things that, you know, and start to make real clear-cut choices. You know, everything seems to kind of rise during prosperous times, during expansion times. When things start to get a little bit tough, then we have to really talk about what really matters. And I just to second what Tori said about it's not just about when a lot of times we think about arts and it sounds like just some kind of a shiny ornament that you put on top of the tree rather than being part of the roots of the tree, which it really is. And if we begin to think of it that way, I think we will stop seeing it as something that is in competition with other needs out there in the community, because there are a lot of needs. I mean, nobody denies that. We're not foolish enough to think that this is the only area of kind of, you know, human existence that's important and that is under kind of duress right now. It's just that it can make such a huge difference in so many ways. There are so few other things where, you know, if you attend to it, you get multiple effects and multiple outcomes, and that's just one of those things about the arts. It is that way.
Sonia Tower, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, you know, that aspect of changing the minds or educating people about, you know, the fact that art is important. And, you know, where some people might say, for example, we recently opened a new convention center. Why should we spend money on art when we could have put maybe three more meeting rooms in there?
Well, I wanted to actually speak, Nellie, what you just asked Bruce about and why the arts, that issue. And during tough economic times, it seems like it might be a frill or not a necessity, and the shiny ornament, as Bruce says. But the fact is that especially in these tough economic times, especially when we're faced with these terrible things that are going on in the world, the arts are even more critical. And that's why during the Great Depression, you know, people went to the movies and, Entertainment was very important. One of the responses to putting people to work, the arts, you know, can serve in a very practical way. And, you know, the WPA program had artists out there working and beautifying our spaces, our public spaces. And so the arts serve a lot of those issues. And for somebody who's dealing with a, economic downturn, they've lost their home, there's all these terrible things going on. The fact is that the arts are something that are immediate and that can transform a moment, an evening, you know, can actually get, it's not about what ails the body, it's about what ails the soul. Mm-hmm. And the arts can provide that outlet, they can provide that moment of relief, of sort of getting away from it for a while, or sort of, you know, lifting you out of whatever it is that's going on that's so difficult. And mm-hmm. so it's especially in times like these that the arts become even more critical. And then the topic of the conversation tonight at the rally is that on a more practical level, the arts are actually a driver of economic vitality. And they're $160 billion dollar industry in this country. And as a matter of fact, in Alaska, I think in Anchorage, it's a $42 million I just saw this. Anchorage participated in this big study that was done several years ago. And so it is, $45 million, economic engine here in Anchorage. So it's important. It's an investment in the economic vitality of a community. It's not an isolated activity. It's that people will come. They come to downtown. They come to the Performing Arts Center. And then the studies have shown that besides buying that ticket, what they're also doing is spending an average of $24 and or $21. And if they're coming from out of town, they spend an average of $38. So then attracting people from outside of the region to come visit, that it becomes even more attractive economically. Mm-hmm. So it's really about providing, you know, this really important boost to the local economy. And that's why it's a very smart investment.
Some of the things that people wouldn't routinely think about as far as involvement in the arts, I mean, you have people who are specialists at working in audio systems. You have people who design costumes, you know, people who are sewers. So there's quite a wide range of people outside of just say the people who are singing or, you know, playing the drums.
That's right. It's a huge industry. Industry. And it's a good industry. I mean, it's when you think about it, it's clean. It's when you have tourists come visit, you don't have any sort of, waste from that or, it's really a fantastic industry. It's very positive. And then, you know, you get all of the other aspects of it, which is that you can involve your youth in these creative, you know, provides them a creative outlet. So it's good for everything.
You are listening to Community Forum on KSKA. Today we're talking about investment in the arts in public places. And it is a live call-in program. If you're listening in the afternoon, if you have an opinion on that, give us a call, 550-8433. I know people usually feel strongly about it or don't really think about it too much. And it would be interesting to hear your point of view. Our toll-free 1-888-353-5752 or communityforum@kska.org. Mal, we've talked about, you know, getting youth involved, and we've talked a little bit about how the arts can maybe focus their energies in different directions. I know, you know, kids are very interested in music. We hear, I mean, even today, the cell phone is, you know, an object of music. Everybody's got their, they download music off the internet. That's their ringtone, their kind of identity. But as far as getting kids involved in a specific thing, like maybe opera or orchestra, are those things available to them? Or,
you know, what's great about it is just having the opportunity, knowing that there is a program that provides opera programs or anything. And that's what we're trying to figure out, is what programs are out there for these youth, and how can we get this to happen? Mm-hmm. And it is through the funding opportunities, scholarships, and trying to build these funds. But these funds we're going after are for the entire city, and trying to make sure that we can make sure at least to get kids from around this area to at least surround one common goal and mm-hmm. then one common interest. And if it's music or dance or poetry or any type of art out there, we just want to make sure that those opportunities are out there for our youth. It's also very important that art is about the expression, the individual, and really trying to get these kids to speak about themselves, about mm-hmm. what they foresee as art. You know, mm-hmm. it's all about them and their voice and pushing their voices out there. And it's not for me to say anything else but that about them. So,
yeah. Tori, where did you originally come from, and how did you get interested in the arts as a assume as a young person?
Actually, I come from a military family, so I was born in Texas in Fort Bliss in El Paso.
I'm sorry.
I'm proud of that.
Someone from Texas is in
here. Yes, I'm proud of that, a Texan. I was raised in the San Francisco Bay Area, mm-hmm. Did my undergraduate at UCLA in poli-sci, and then went to Boston to study opera and classical music, and then moved to New York City, and I was in New York City for 13 years before moving here. I was planning on going to law school, and while at UCLA and trying to make myself well-rounded, I discovered the vocal choral groups, and that's how I got into singing and then opera and then went to Boston, and had no background in classical music or singing or opera, and it took about a year and a half for me to even like it, because at first mm-hmm. it was not it was like cod liver oil or something.
Wow, not many people remember that. You don't even look old.
and I feel pretty strongly about that now. Art has to be, it has to be good. It can't just be some self-absorbed artist doing something without appealing to people. It has to be for the people, especially with opera. I feel very strongly about that. You have a responsibility to reach out to people. And I think when artists or the art or performance artists present it that way, then it's really responsible and it's doing what it's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. What was the turning point for you? I mean, you had been studying political science, and here you are,
Mr. Opera.
Because the most powerful political tool out there is the arts. I believe that if we had invested $1 billion in the arts and cultural exchange through the arts, we wouldn't be in this mess we're in right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you are listening to Community Forum on KSKA. This is a live call-in program, so we're going to go to the phones. Bruce on line 8, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I would like to know if any of your guests would mind giving up some of the arts money to redirect it toward green energy like solar and wind, and then we can start help saving the planet from global warming.
Okay. We talked about that a little bit, Sonia, about, you know, there are so many needs. There's, you know, how do we deal with that?
Well, you know, the fact is that you want to increase the pie. You don't want to take one piece of the pie. And when there are needs, you want those needs to be met. And certainly a critical issue like global warming, what I can say is that, you know, there are many art pieces that are, you know, an inconvenient truth, for instance, a film, which can influence and motivate and educate. And so I think that the arts, you know, have their role in communicating and getting, you know, persuading people. Tori's right. They're the most powerful political tool that we have. And it's a way that we communicate. So the arts are so severely undercapitalized in this country, severely undercapitalized. We don't have the systems of support like they do in Europe. So I would hate to, you know, sort of give anything up that they have right now because they have so little. But, of course, we want to save the planet. And so if we can use the arts to do that, we will do that.
Okay, thanks for your call, Bruce. So once again, this is a live call-in program. If you'd like to join in the discussion, our number is 550-8433. That's 550-8433, or communityforum@kska.org. I really identified with what Bruce said because, of course, you know, we've all heard here in the state of Alaska, it's huge, it's bigger than Texas. And the price of fuel here is not dropping like it is in other places in the lower 48. And as a matter of fact, the costs in the rural areas is many times what we're paying here in Anchorage. And I was, Bruce, when you and I were talking about doing this show, saying, you know, well, you know, what about all that? But hearing Sonia talk about an inconvenient truth and the importance of art to people in the villages is huge. I mean, for example, on St. Lawrence Island, people don't just sit around watching arcs all day. They're carving. That's what people do in their free time. They're creating things. Is this, you know, some of these things, how do they play into this whole big picture, you know, when you're talking about individual art and then community art?
That's a really good point. And the fact is that something I will be talking about tonight also at the rally is that when you get into the area of cultural tourism and heritage tourism, this is the kind of thing that people that are visiting an area find unbelievably fascinating. And it's the kind of thing that really engages people. And, you know, indigenous societies are much and have been much healthier in terms of the arts, much more connected to the arts, woven into the fabric of their lives. We've gotten away from that. American culture, it's not a healthy development. The fact that, Americans for the Arts, national organization, exists because we really have a problem in American culture and American life in that we've gotten away from that way of living, and we don't have the arts incorporated into our everyday lives. And so that should be celebrated. Those folk traditions, those traditional, you know, carving, and those should be celebrated. American society would be healthier if it operated more in that way. And we should look to indigenous cultures as a great example of how, you know, how much better we could be living if you know, we lived that way.
Mm-hmm. I would like to invite that last caller, Bruce, to come to the rally tonight and sit there and kind of listen to what's going to be going on and think about his question, because it's not a bad question at all. I mean,
it's a good question on lots
of people's minds. But one of the things that you'll hear tonight is a young Native Alaskan woman who raps under the name of Atumaku. And she's going to be providing some entertainment for this this event tonight. And she grew up in the village and was on a whaling crew and really represents the, you know, I mean, she's the embodiment of the issues here in Alaska that have to do with the rural versus urban divide and changes that are going on in villages and the economy and climate and so on. She has this really, really strong affinity for the polar bear. It's basically her totem animal, and she spent a lot of time thinking about it. And she does performance work around the polar bear and the situation that that species finds itself. And tonight, and one of the, I heard her rap the other night at an event that was connected with AFN, a kind of film festival of Native film and art. And she does this really, really powerful hip-hop piece about the polar bear, and it, you sit there and it kind of makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck, because it not only is a powerful story, a narrative that she's addressing, but the voice is so authentic, and it answers this question of what good is art when it comes to things, issues like global warming and so on. I mean, it's just an absolute, you know, kind of physical embodiment of it. So I hope people come and have a look at that.
Well, do you think it makes young people identify more with art when they see things like Bruce has described, young people incorporating kind of their traditional life ways and things into music that's current, that's
many
new.
Many of the students I work with utilize music especially to express themselves, mm-hmm. and they utilize it to express themselves about the issues that they're dealing with or anything that involves their life. So if not being able to pay your gas bill or pay your gas at all, if that's an issue that my students are dealing with, then most likely they're going to figure out a way to express themselves in that way, but also try to figure out how can I provide a solution to the problems that I'm facing. Mm-hmm. And how can this appeal to more youth and to more folks out there? How can I get this message out? And basically all I am for all the students I deal with is just a stage. Mm-hmm. So I just provide them an opportunity to continue to take steps in their lives to be successful, but also to be recognized for what they do. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what we all try to do, is really try to figure out a way to express ourselves and to get what we are very passionate about mm-hmm. out there. And so we all sit here and just promote those pieces. And really, if Bruce would like to come, and we can always talk and share anything about what we do, and we would love to try to reach every part. But this is what we are very passionate about, and so this is where we push.
Mm-hmm. Are you seeing many Alaska Native youth involved with AK Pride at all?
I represent diversity. Mm-hmm. With me being Polynesian, majority of my students are Polynesian. But one thing that I push to them is our culture appeals to everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, Hawaii is one of the most main attractions to this entire world, and everyone wants to go there to see our culture. And mm-hmm. so what I push to our students is, let's push our culture out there. Show them what you guys represent, because what they see right now is a lot of negativity, what you guys are doing in the streets.
Yep.
None of us are graduating. No one's going off to college. These are things that people know about us. Mm-hmm. And that's our stereotype. So that's what we're trying to break, not only in my Polynesian community, but the minority community, just low-income families, high-risk youth, all those things. There's just so sure. many issues out there that, you know, we're just trying to figure out where to start. But knowing that funding is always an issue, those are things that we have to create sustainability for all the programs we've got going on. And it's only through the collaborations that we have that we'll all be successful and be able to rise up in this state.
Tori, you're kind of, you know, we could do a lot of stereotypes about what you do.
Hey, let me tell you, can I go back to Tori now? I mean, just taking right. Tori right now. I mean, I've never known of anyone, a black man doing opera and stuff. So, I mean, for me, it's very surprising, but it's something that, like, if I went with Tori into Mountain View, and I would bet $100 that none of the kids would guess what his occupation was.
Okay, there's no betting on public radio.
Well, it's just that, you know, just to bring them in, just to show them yeah. another view, another
stereotype
opportunity
busting.
Out there. Yes, and that's what's great about people like ourselves, is that we are role models, whether we want to be or not and stuff, and it's just trying to get other guys that are in other areas to where the kids would never mm-hmm. even think of being in, and trying to see if they are interested in those types of things. But
okay,
throw that out there.
How do we get Tori over to Mountain View?
I'd be glad to do it. I, you know, for some odd reason, I think it was my time in Americans for the Arts, I started seeing the big picture, because I really get where people like Bruce are coming from. Mm-hmm. But what I would say, and I don't want to sound too artsy-fartsy, is, Bruce, the arts are about the inspiration of creativity. You need people to think more creatively, and they will come up with better green ideas.
That's right.
That's what you needed. You know, the Harvard Business School did a big survey and report a few years ago, and the title was "The MFA is the New MBA." We no longer need bean counters. We
That's
need
Master
creative,
of Fine Arts. And,
right. The Master of Fine Arts is more important than the Master of Business. We need creative people, and that's the future. We have to be creative. If individual communities, if regions, if the country is going to take a lead in the future, we need creativity, and it cannot be underestimated.
Well, I don't know what to say after that, except I'm going to go to Bruce Farnsworth now and see
what's happening over here.
I think we should just make it the Mao and Tori show.
Absolutely.
In our community, it seems like we have this discussion every time there is a change in representation. We have a new mayor. Maybe the mayor is more conservative than the previous mayor, and you know, all of a sudden we're arguing again over, you know, how many flowers to plant in the medians and, you know, get that fluff out of there. We're going to pave over them and never mind all those beautiful things. Isn't that like the core? I mean, it just seems like we are, you know, asking for something far greater and far more meaningful than, you know, just a couple dollars out of everybody's pocket.
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, the dollars out of the pocket really start to matter when there are fewer dollars, or the dollar starts to buy less. So that's not frivolous of people to be thinking about that and to be taking those concerns seriously. In fact, one of the things that I think this is addressing your where you were going with that. A problem that we've had with arts funding is that we're taking it out of the general operating budget of the city. And we all know where those funds come from because the way we've structured our income, our income streams in Anchorage, it's all based on property tax. Mm-hmm. We don't have sales tax. We don't have – there's a lot of other sources of revenue that other cities, you know, mechanisms that they employ to get revenue. We've got – it's just one. It's property tax pretty much. And then that's the vast bulk of it. And people – property owners every so often get really, really unhappy and feeling like they're bearing the entire burden and so on and so on. I think that, that the danger of relying on that source of funding is that depending on the makeup of the individual assembly and the administration of the moment, arts will be under, you know, it will always be a shaky proposition and we need to get out of that. Mm-hmm. We need to figure out a long-term, I think Mal brought up the word sustainable way to fund the arts and we're going to work on that. That's part of our commitment. It's part of our pledge. We call this a 3-year campaign. We've been talking about our first year goal, but our long-term goal is to come up with a mechanism that isn't based on property tax income to fund mm-hmm. the arts locally.
You know, I believe that if we are able to communicate to people how important the arts are, they'll come to us. We won't have to be asking for appropriations or special money. Let's just do this. If you don't think the arts are important? Let's close down the Performing Arts Center for 2 years. No arts, no theater, no nothing. Let's see what happens to Anchorage. Then people will begin to understand just how important this is. Mm-hmm. If you don't think it's important, close down the Performing Arts Theater, the Performing Arts Center. 300,000 people come there. Imagine how many businesses would close down if you didn't have that stream of traffic coming in. What would happen if you closed down all the theaters, take all the arts out of the schools, come back to Anchorage 5 years later? It's going to be a horrible place.
Well, I would say wow. that arts in the schools are pretty limited right now, and I know that's been a sore topic for a lot of community members and parents, and I think some even, you know, have there has been a resurgence in getting back to kind of the where you have people in the community that I guess are more privatized in teaching music, teaching piano, teaching violin. We're seeing more and more of that, I think. Are you seeing that, Bruce?
Sure, but, you know, that leaves out a lot of kids whose
yes,
families can't afford
pay
private lessons
yeah.
for things. I mean, and there's there's so much talent. Tori was talking about how much creativity and how much talent is concentrated in Anchorage. I agree with that. But it isn't just the people who have chosen to become sort of professional performers. I mean, mm-hmm. you just go over to sit in on one of an average day at that Mao Tozzi's program, and you'll see talent that, you know, that never is going to have the opportunity, possibly, unless we just really figure this out, mm-hmm. to become, you know, known and to make a contribution at these other levels and to carve out perhaps even a living performing. And I know a lot of people, young people aspire to do that. The thing is, though, that the more opportunities – the better. And something Tori said, I just wanted to say something. He said artists have a responsibility to be good at what they do, and I really agree with that. I mean, if you're going to go out and ask people to pay money and you're going to ask them to come and take time out of their lives, you have a responsibility to the art form that you practice, but also to the people. But the fact is that at the basic individual level where you just reach out and try to get young people involved in it to start expressing themselves, that's just laying the groundwork for that later opportunity to really, you know, kind of, I don't know what you would call it, I guess, just achieve a real high level of artistic practice in whatever your discipline is or whatever. But, I mean, those kids who start rapping, they practice. I mean, in fact, they probably spend a better part of their lives honing and working on their craft, and it's amazing. And nobody's paying them to do that.
Yeah, just, you know, the majority of the kids out there that are doing after-school programs and that are involved in the arts, their chances of being successful just automatically jump up there. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's the great thing about doing all this stuff is that we have an opportunity to raise the probability of our kids being successful. Mm-hmm. And that's just allowing art to help these kids to get to where they want to be. And majority of them won't be dancers and singers and all those things, but they'll have a very strong passion for those areas mm-hmm. as they go on mm-hmm. to college and become doctors and lawyers and all those other parts. Mm-hmm. And so it's just saying that this is something that will help them to develop into this,
yeah.
which is the doctors and lawyers, and just being successful, but also being happy and being able to express themselves.
Yeah. And we're going to hopefully get some input on that. Don't forget, this is a live call-in program. If you're listening in the afternoon, if you're listening in the evening, you can't call in because the program's been pre-recorded. Our local number is 550-8433. If you have something you want to get off your chest in regards to the art or support, give us a call, 550-8433. I've got some big guys in here. And Sonia, of course, who is our keynote speaker for tonight's rally. Let's go now to George on line two. Welcome to the show, George.
Hello. I was wondering if there have been any, like, research studies that compare communities that have, you know, eliminated a lot of their arts compared to communities that fund their arts really well in the United States, and if there's been any, you know, studies to show how it impacts, you know, some of the stuff you mentioned about the economic, but also the, you know, gangs and you know, prison populations.
Sonia, any thoughts
yeah,
on that?
Yeah, absolutely. there, what's funny is that there's, you know, what happens generally is they don't study the places where the arts have been taken out of the schools and not present in the community, because those places most people don't want to go. And there's economic, you know, you've got a blighted downtowns and you've got a lot of, you know, gang activity. And but what happens then is that when they put the arts into those places, what you immediately see is this cultural vitality that starts happening. Neighborhoods are transformed. Kids are engaged in these positive activities. And a lot of the social ills that you see diminish and many times go away, and there are just huge success stories. So they tend to not study them when they don't have the arts. They just know they've got huge problems. Mm-hmm. And when they do come in and bring the arts in, then you see this transformation, and then you get all the positive test scores and results.
Do you know what communities that was or what study that was?
Oh, I would go. I would. There are hundreds of these studies that they've done documenting it. I would go to www.americansfortheArts.org or artsusa.org, and that would. They have a lot of studies on those things.
I went through the very same situation actually about a year ago, where we moved into a high school to provide an after school program, and the excitement, and this covered the arts, music, dance, poetry, academic monitoring, all those things, but the arts were a big part of it. And when we came into the school, it was a big excitement with the youth and getting them involved. We had 80 plus students involved in our after school program. The problem was the lack of financial support to make sure that we have the staff there to take care of to handle all these kids. Being that majority of our kids were from high risk, low income neighborhoods, you know, that the liability piece that the school saw was something that was really a major issue. So what happened was that we ended up being, well, moving out of the schools and into the communities. And with that happening, this year, just knowing all those kids that were in our program, and then hearing the stories from other youth that I'm still around, is that not very many of them are doing very well. You know, it's because one thing is that you've taken probably one of the only things they were interested in. These are kids that don't involve themselves in after-school programs, don't participate in community outreach programs, but here they are being involved in something that they found interest in, and they came. We didn't chase them down. So with us moving out of that school, you know, really a lot of these kids ended up Alaska Military Youth Academy, really going through a lot of a lot of issues, and so it's been tough, but it's for us to say, okay, we got to make sure that we can provide the structure, provide the support for our youth so that we can build this into something that the school district and everyone else is confident in having in their facilities.
Mel, is there a role in this for volunteerism, you know, maybe parents?
Yes.
Or I know, you know, there's always a need for cash, but what about, you know, people in the community stepping forward?
You know, right now it's just trying to figure out what type of support we have out there and trying to figure out what we want the kids to be doing. You know, with all those kids that I've had in my program, is I had to back away from that and say, you know what, there's only 3 staff members I have right now, so it's for us to say, we got to build leaders out there. We need more Maltoses, Trey Joses, everyone out there that is a community leader. We need those types of folks to get involved. But it's for us to build those leaders from our youth and bring them up, because they're the ones that appeal to our middle school and elementary school youth. They're the ones that really everyone wants to hear from. Mm-hmm. Our high school teens are the ones that the city's saying, what are they doing? And really, I'm saying, you'll see. You'll see here soon. they'll be out there and ready to speak on their own. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be us talking mm-hmm. about them. They have a voice and they want it to be heard.
Thanks for saying that. I appreciate it, because I wanted to get that in. Also, line 3, David, welcome to the show.
Hi there, everybody. I just wanted to put a plug in for ASD. I've been really impressed. I've got 2 kids, one that's graduated and one that's a junior in high school, and they have had just a multitude of opportunities through the public school system to be creative and express themselves artistically, whether it is multimedia stuff or digital iMovies or music in the orchestra or the band or theater. It really has been diverse, and there's the programs where you can do arts through the schools, and I just think the ASD, in spite of whatever cutbacks have taken place, they still provide a high level of delivery of arts in our public schools.
That's fantastic.
Thanks for your comments, David. I'm sure the school district is happy to hear that. And I know when my kids were in school, the one thing that I particularly used to like was the Indian Education Program would do a lot of Native-oriented art, not just Eskimo art, but Indian and other groups from our state. And my kids really enjoyed it. At first I thought, well, they're not going to really be too interested in this, but they were, and it really came to be something that they incorporated into maybe their tattoo designs. Or I don't want to talk too much about my kids, but okay. And I did, thanks for your call. Anyway, I did want to read one of there is a study on the Anchorage Cultural Council website that was done by Americans for the Arts, and it's called Arts and Economic Prosperity, and it's really worth taking some time to look at it. It's very interesting, and they have a lot of people from around the world who, you know, comment about art and its significance. And one of the things that Paul Allen said, of course, he was the co-founder of Microsoft, said, in my own philanthropy and business endeavors, I've seen the critical role that the arts play in stimulating creativity and in developing vital communities. As this study indicates, the arts have a crucial impact on our economy and are an important catalyst for learning, discovery, and achievement in our country. And I don't know, how could we have said that anymore?
That's perfect.
Yeah. So, Bruce, as kind of an activist, writer, how would you encourage people to get involved in the arts and become more aware of what our community needs are?
Come to the rally tonight at 6 p.m. at the Wildberry Theater.
He'll tell you how.
That was sort of theatrical.
Well, it seemed like you had built such a big foundation for that I didn't want to, you know, not live up to it. We'll talk about that tonight, because, you know, this rally tonight, it's not like a rally, like a political rally. There's not going to be any chanting or sign waving, but there will be. There will be a call to action.
You're not limiting, are you?
No, you never know what's going to happen.
You never know.
But there will be a call to action, and we do need to get get the whole community involved, and we think we've got some ideas that people can do that don't involve just, you know, giving money or making contributions to this or that organization. We need people to just get involved, and there's mm-hmm. a whole bunch of ways that they can. But tonight we'll talk about some of those.
Tori Allen, let's talk a little bit quickly about the variety of arts that we see in the formal arts community, the Performing Arts Center. We've mentioned it sort of real casually here, but sure. What is it that people can get a taste of in our community?
It's first class. We have the Opera Company, which is celebrating its 47th year here.
Wow.
Really incredible. We have a symphony, really world class, or just a great symphony. We have a dance company. We have multiple theater companies. We have a lot going on. It's just amazing. I think for a community, a 300,000 population, 300,000, I think we're in the top 5% in terms of creativity in this country. Hmm. And it's totally undervalued, totally underappreciated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Totally.
Totally. Totally. I'm talking big picture here. Yeah.
Well, and one of the things about that, having that kind of that kind of an art scene, and then those venues that Tori's talking about, those are expensive to go to, though. And one of the things about this money that we're trying to get increased, you know, to get injected into the arts budget, is so that the kids that Mao is working with can get, you know, can continue to do this kind of stuff that they're doing, the kind of work that they're doing. But every so often, if they're interested, they could also go to the Performing Arts Center and they could see something. I bet if Tori went to that program and talked to them about opera, I bet there would be four or five of those kids that would say, "Huh, I've never seen an opera. That'd be kind of cool." And they would go. I mean, but they wouldn't
say,
probably.
He's black. Wow, that's cool. Wow, that's awesome. He looks like me. And that's what it is. I mean, and that's what the way I do my work is. I look like them, so majority of the time they're going to want to, that's our relationship, that's a connection that we already make, but really just trying to show off the diversity, the experiences that we represent or have been a part of, we're just trying to share that with all the different youth out there. But as far as those, there's so many different art programs and organizations in this city, and these funds that we're going after is just to make sure that we can help pay for scholarships for kids to be in those programs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also to sustain and provide support to all these organizations that are out there. So there's so many. So you take 100,000 and you say, you know what? There's a lot of arts organizations and a lot of programs here in this city that is going to be, we're going to need more money. So that's going to be something we'll talk about later on down the road.
You know,
so.
For me, that's really, it's the bigger picture is social stability of Anchorage. Mm-hmm. That's what it's an investment in. I was in New York City. I moved to New York City pre-Giuliani when New York City was one dangerous place. And one of the most inspirational people I ran into was a woman who was a director of a social service agency. And she said to me that when New York City had this major fiscal crisis during the late 70s, one of the first things they did was take out the arts education program from the schools. And for her, that was the beginning of the end. Because that was, for her, those arts education programs served as a first strike against all these social ills.
I think that's what Anchorage has done too.
And within 5 years, there was an increase in youth violence of almost 40%.
God.
You had to hire more police. Jeez. More people were victims of random violence. Yeah. They had more jails going up. Then you actually, what they did is they went into the schools and they removed the instruments. And what these kids started doing is they start rapping. So the beginning of rap music is a direct result of a policy decision in New York City to take the instruments out of the schools. Then there's nothing else to do. Some of them started getting in trouble. So they started creating little small crimes and going into jail and getting out quickly. That second wave of people coming out of jail they were angry and bitter. They created gangster rap.
Wow. Never knew that.
Okay, well, we're going to be bounced out of here in just a minute, but I want to thank all of you for being here today talking about the arts in the middle of this huge political swirl that's going around right now. Don't forget the rally for the arts tonight here in Anchorage, and that's at the Wildberry Theater at
6 p.m.
And I'm Nellie Moore. I'll
see
you next week.
Okay.
Forum is a production of KSKA's News and Public Affairs Department. If you have questions or comments concerning this program, write to us. KSKA 3877 University Drive, Anchorage, Alaska 99508. Or email us at communityforum@kska.org. Additional information on today's show topic, including relevant website links, will be posted along with audio of today's program on our website at kska.org/community forum. CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400 during regular business hours. This is KSKA, Anchorage.